The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon.
I want to start NFL Hall of Fame gold jacket day to day. So I wanted to make sure we recognize Chuck Howley, you know, one of the best linebackers ever played in the NFL, and support him and his family. So big congrats. And it's also probably the greatest player in Troy's history gets his gold jacket today too, in DeMarcus Ware. So thinking about both those families and what a tremendous honor. And so wanted to open with that. Fan day today, appreciate everyone coming out. It's a good event. Our people did a really good job hosting it, and a lot of young people, and that's why we have it, is the interaction with our players and the young people. You know, I think it's really important. If you look at the game of football, the numbers are in decline across the country. And so we've got to continue to do things that keep this game alive. It's the greatest team sport in the country, in my humble opinion. I love all sports, but I think this game teaches more than any other thing, and so any other game. And so I think it's important that we do outreach things. So appreciate all the families that came out and came to Fan Day and then watched the practice. Recovery day practice for us, so really light. We practice in intervals, and so a lot of it's some scientific data and stuff like that that Coach Mike and his people do. But today we basically had a really we stressed them yesterday. Today's really short. Tomorrow's a non-practice day. And then for all intents and purposes, camp really starts on Monday. And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, last day of shells will be Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday, full pads. We'll start doing some tackling, and that's when it kind of starts separating out. With that, been pretty calm today compared to yesterday, huh? So with that, I'll take questions.
Neil, I mean, it's way too early yet, but when do you have to start to make decisions on, okay, this guy, maybe not start, but this guy is good enough to play, or this guy who's maybe he's developing. Yeah. When do you get to that point?
Yeah, well, Greg, that question went in a better direction, I was thinking. I thought you were going to ask me about making, like, away game, how we're going to travel to Arizona or Utah or whatever. Yeah, no, I've been to Tucson. I haven't played there, but here's what we try to do is we try to give everybody two scrimmages, so that'd be 2 weeks from today. Now it'll thin out a little bit before then, but two live opportunities in the stadium is kind of, you know, it's not going to, you know, that's. You know, our starting left tackle is Wyatt Milam. You know that's who that is. You know, our starting center is Zach Frazier. But there's several jobs that are open, and there's a lot of backup jobs, and there's a lot of jobs on special teams that are open, and there's a lot of travel roster spots. And so most of those decisions will be made that Sunday, Monday after the second scrimmage. Now, some of them will go longer, but you want to give everybody two live situations in the scrimmage. The other thing too is, like, you got to keep hope alive, you know, because there's certain guys that we know probably are not going to help us necessarily this year, but they're key to down the road. You know, like the O linemen really are the ones that stick out, like Johnny Williams, Nick Cray, Cooper Young. Those are guys that really have a bright future here, and so that's why you see some of the two spot stuff that you saw today, and then you saw a couple days ago when y'all were out there, is to get those guys reps, and we'll continue to do that all the way through that second scrimmage when we start kind of Penn State prep.
Job at right tackle, you moved up there in the spring. Mm-hmm. Is he definitely there now? There's no thought of flipping that back, or
no? Yeah,
that?
I think that's the best fit for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've really worked him there. Well, we kind of worked him center guard and tackle. And he's still getting reps at all three spots, but that's where we anticipate him playing when we play week one. Is it right tackle? And Hubbard's still getting reps there. Hubbard and Yates are both competing, continue to compete at the right guard spot as well. And then Yates is getting some center reps also.
Yeah, that's just about Colorado on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Got to ask you about the new three.
Yeah. You know, I said this, and – And I've kind of said the same thing because I know several of you guys have asked about the realignment. And I've been really impressed with Commissioner Yormark since he took over. I think he's been aggressive. And I don't think enough credit goes to Commissioner Bowlesby too. And like I thought that the conference by his leadership reacted really quickly, and we added four really good football programs to the Big 12 when Texas and Oklahoma initially left. And then Commissioner Yormark's had a plan since the beginning, and now we're sitting at 16 teams, and I think that you know, for the last several months, we've been in a position of power, which has not always been the case. So I think a lot of credit goes to his leadership. I like Arizona. I hope we play there in November.
Not August?
It won't bother me. Some of these cats are not ready for that, though.
What do you see at your receivers? You got a lot of guys there. You know, you're repping a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll probably hold off on that, Greg, till we get next week. I'll be able to give you a much better opinion on it. E.J. Horton had a nice day today. That was his best day. You know, Devin Carter is the most experienced there, and he's been the most productive through the spring and then up until now in fall camp. And, you know, Cortez Bram's been out been practicing the last 2 days, and I thought he competed at a high level in the spring, and so Preston Fox continues to be productive. He's going to play. You know, we've talked about Preston a lot, and he hadn't played a ton, but he's going to play this year. And then, you know, whether it's Noah Massey, you know, Rodney Gallagher's had two good days in a row. You know, Jayshon Polk is going to be in the mix. You know, those guys, I mean, there's a bunch of guys in there that can play them that play themselves into playing time, or they can play themselves out. You know, and there's competition, probably more competition we had a year ago. And so I've been pleased to see that. But I want to see how they handle when it becomes contact. You know, receivers a lot easier to play when you don't have to worry about getting hit. And so starting Tuesday, you know, they got to worry about getting hit. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
There's been a lot of mention of Rodney Gallagher and even Jaheim White, and they're obviously two of the top recruits. What exactly have they maybe been doing that's kind of surprised you, or even as having them show up and keep saying they're performing so well, but you're not really getting in the heat of camp yet? So what exactly are they doing?
So with Rodney, I'll answer that first. So I've been pleasantly surprised. Rodney's probably on about 12 or 14 pounds since he's been here, which has given him an opportunity to compete. And he's blocked a lot better than I probably anticipated early on, because he's never had to. You know, he played quarterback. He's never really had to block, so he's been more physical. And he's made a couple really contested catches over the middle. And so that's been I don't think surprise is the right word, but I've been pleased with that, with those two aspects. And then on the flip side, Jaheim's been here all spring, all summer. You know, Jaheim really came on probably the last 2 weeks of spring practice. He plays at a different gear than our other running backs. I don't mean that he's superior. That's not what I mean. He's just quicker, and his running style is much different than the other guys we have in the backfield. And so, and he's versatile. He catches the ball. He's really sudden. You know, I felt like this coming out of the spring that he would play, and he hasn't done anything but help himself out over the summer and through our first four practices. Yeah, I think we got to wait. You know, we look better. You know, I think we're bigger there than we have been. We definitely have more natural pass rushing talent there. But let's get it. Let's get into some third down periods and things like that, and let's see how it shakes out. Look good in pass rush right now. You know, one on one versus the O line, they're getting more wins than they have, and so. I am anticipating us being better, but I want to wait and see.
Yeah, how do you balance tackling and going full contact with keeping guys healthy?
Yeah, I think everybody in the country has to deal with that. You know, we're probably going to err on the side of being more physical. You know, we didn't do that a year ago, and I think it hurt us early in the year. We didn't tackle very well against Pitt. You know, our tackling versus Kansas was atrocious. And so we didn't have a really deep team last year, and we probably weren't as physical during camp, and it showed in our play. And so we've really, going back to January, this is, and I don't mean to be a broken record, but like a lot of these things that we're doing or we changed were in January, not necessarily in fall camp, but we've really put a premium on the physicality. We practiced much more physical. We tackled, every day we were legally able to tackle in the spring, and we're going to use a lot more those opportunities in fall camp and be intentional about being physical and tackling to the ground.
Special teams work, a lot of it is individual skills, mm-hmm. those kind of things. Looks like you're starting to do, a little bit more groups of three, the small groups one side. Are you pleased with where that building process is? And I know you still have some steps to go to put it all together, but are you seeing some results from what you did in the spring?
Yeah, so spring-wise, kind of what we do is really from a belief standpoint is really about individual evaluation and then working the fundamentals of the special teams. Like punt and field goal are the only units that we work as a total, all 11. And then what we do is we kind of build into it in the summer, and then in fall camp, we go right to it. Now today we didn't, we've got to, it stinks, but you got to kind of be cautious of what you're doing because all three of our first three games are all local, So my assumption is we probably did have some people that were, part of those first three opponents that were here today. And so we got to be careful. So that's why we did all kind of group things today, not necessarily all 11, but we've been working all 11. And really what we want to do is, and I think I said this the other day, is we want to continue what we've been doing on punt. I thought we were really good last year on punt. We want to continue to build on that, trying to get to great. And then our biggest step that we've got to make is on kickoff coverage and on kickoff return. Like, we've statistically got to make big steps right there because our field position we lost the field position battle really, and if you look at our losses, like, we got our tail kicked in field position, and it goes back to those two units, a lot of it. And so I'm pleased. Again, we're going to do more live kind of 11-on-11 work with those than we have in the past. So I am pleased thus far, but we still got to answer that question over the next 2 weeks.
For younger guys coming in that will compete for some of those spots, is it more physical things they have to learn, or is it more technique things?
Both. Both. And what we try to do is in the summer during those OTAs is really teach them the techniques. And then when we get into – they have to be able to execute those techniques in live situations. I'm sorry.
Yeah, kind of two-part question. It's the greatest game and what it teaches. Give me your best feel on what it teaches and why it is the greatest game.
Well, I look at it like this, and I don't mean to get on a soapbox, but so I was very fortunate growing up that I was able to play basketball through high school. I played baseball through high school, and I used to play football through college. And I've been a part of a team for as long as I can remember, probably going back to when I was 5 years old. And my parents are both educators, and y'all know my background, so I'm not getting into that. But I say this, and I don't mean this against anything in the classroom, but I've probably learned as many life lessons and things that I carry with me on a hard court, a baseball diamond, or a football field. And you think about it, and we actually just talked to our team about this. There's a Bill Curry he talks about the huddle, and if you've never listened to it, really should take a minute and kind of listen to it. He talks about the huddle, and he talks about in detail what it means. And but we shared that with our team yesterday, and I think the game of football, it's the only game where really your well-being is dependent on other people, and that's the truth. And you've got to wear gear. You got to be able to go through and endure things in the heat during the summer. You got to play in conditions in the winter where it's really cold, or late fall when it's really cold. You got to learn how to be a good teammate. And I can go on this, but I just feel really strongly, and I get asked this a bunch because I'm very fortunate. I got to have a son, and there's people that are concerned, right? They're concerned about football and some of the stuff that's come out on concussions and CTE and things like that. And they ask, hey, are you going to let Dax play football? And my answer is always, man, I really hope so. You know, I really hope so. Now, I'm not going to make him play, but I hope he plays, because I think there's some life lessons and some lessons on just being a man that I don't think you get anywhere else. And to me, the risk, and there's risk associated with everything, you know. I'm a lot more concerned about my daughter that plays soccer and without pads than I am, you know, Dax when he eventually puts pads on, hopefully, and plays the game. And I'm all for soccer. That's not a negative on soccer. I'm pleased that my middle child, she loves it and she plays it year round. But I'm more concerned about that injury with her than I am, you know, in football. So I could probably go on for a while on that. I'm not, but yeah, Bob. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's – I don't know if it gets corrected. You know, I really don't. I think that – I think we've got to get a – we've got to get away from this. Different doesn't mean bad, right? I think that sometimes we get used to things, and we get used to watching TV a certain way. We get used to, you know, certain rules within college athletics. We get used to conferences, and – I think just people in general don't like change, but just because things are different don't mean they're necessarily worse. Now, I do think some of the things that make college athletics great is there's this connection. You know, like sitting there today talking to people coming through Fan Day. You know, a lot of the people that are coming are second, third, fourth generation Mountaineer fans that – went to school here or grew up in the area, and they really identify with the WV logo, not necessarily as me as the head coach or any of our players, but they really identify with West Virginia because West Virginia represents the state. It represents the school they went to. And I think there's a lot more of that in college athletics, and it happens in football more so than not because you have homecoming. You know, there's certain memories that are attached to those because – footballs are more special events, and like I said, I love I go to all the sporting events. I love sports, but you have a lot more games than other, you know. So football games are events, you know. If you look back and I don't have any data from the Chamber of Commerce here, but I'm pretty sure that our home games are probably the biggest revenue dates in town, and so they're events, and you get your memories and everything's tied into those events. And what happens is a lot of times those events are wrapped around rivalries, which I think are really good. But now that's changing. And maybe there's going to be new rivalries. Okay, maybe there's going to be different things that the way college, you know, we're looking at, you know, basically four conferences now. And they're spread coast to coast. Well, maybe they're different. You know, maybe they can be better. I think that's the long answer. The short answer is we got to this point because of money. I mean, that's what it is, right? And we can bitch and complain about it, about the money piece. But last time I checked, most things are like that. I mean, it's a business. And this is a business, you know. Like, you know, the NFL, they're making most of their decisions on the bottom line too, right? Yeah, and so that piece is, and I think you either eat or you get eaten. And so at least right now, you know, from a West Virginia standpoint, we're in the group that's at least eating. Yeah.
Today you got the Fan Fest thing before practice. I think you said it was – I don't think you said vanilla, but like a vanilla practice.
Yeah, it was. That's fair.
They're off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look differently today? Do you find different things out about people today, about, you know, focus, mindset?
Because I thought our urgency wasn't very good. And if you see it, like we basically got two different groups, and I was with our young group today, and I was with our young group on purpose because your older guys, for the most part, they understand. They like, and I always use it like this, and it's more of a visual, but you know, if you're Penn State's here and this is where you want to be at peak performance, you know, I think the common notion is you just gradually climb till you get to your peak performance, but it's really not the way it goes. Is you kind of go up, you come down, come up, come down, and you eventually get all the way, you know, hopefully, that where you can run your fastest, you have your most energy when you hit week one. And so to do that, you know, you're in intervals a little bit. And so today was really our first light practice. And our older guys kind of understand the rhythm of it, where I knew our younger guys, they see the practice and they're like, oh, this is light. We're only out there for an hour and 10 minutes. It's, you know, it's we're working on empty, you know, we're doing some different things. And is their natural tendency is to, okay, you know, it's not as intense, which is not, you can get the same amount of work done in a short amount of time. And so that's why I was down there with those young guys, probably a little more animated at them than I would have been at the older guys.
And then I'll give the name a shot here, Tomiwa. Seemed like, I don't know, just there's something there, I'm guessing. And you guys went after him before and got him in the portal too. I guess, what do you know about him the second time around?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like a case study for new recruiting these days?
Yeah, I just call him Tomi. When he talks in here, you'll have to get him to really because I don't want to butcher it. I just call him Tomi. And so, yeah, I think, you know, with the way recruiting works now is – so we got beat. Kentucky beat us on him, you know, and he was an early enrollee. So that would have been – we're in 23. So that would have been January of 22. He enrolled at Kentucky, and they beat him, beat us on him. You know, he's from Wilmington, Delaware, which is a place that, as you all know, that – West Virginia has had good success in the state of Delaware. There's been some good players from there. You know, at one point we had like five guys early in my tenure that were from Delaware. And so he came here multiple times, chose Kentucky. You know, when he made the decision, you know, it wasn't like we had any negative. You know, it's just you win some, you lose some. And so then when he came in the portal, you know, he and Riley Collins are really close. And so you know, he had a personal connection with Riley, who's from Delaware as well. We had recruited him, so we knew him. We felt really good. The people of Kentucky had good things. Obviously, we have good ties there. The people of Kentucky had positive things to say about him. They didn't want him to go. And so, there was a relationship there. You know, when anytime I think you take a player in the portal that doesn't have proven experience or proven production, there needs to be some background there. And there was background. There was 2 years worth of recruiting. So we knew him. And so that was kind of how that went.
Expectations for him. I mean, he has some experience, not a lot, but he's been in a good program. He's not new to college. And
yeah. The expectation is that he plays, you know, as far as how big a role, he'll determine that. But he's going to be given every opportunity to play, you know, and he's a body type that is hard to find. And so he's still developing. He's a young player. He's going to be a redshirt freshman. They played him in four games last year. But he's been through two spring practices. He's played against and practiced against quality people. And so I do feel like that he's got a chance to earn his way into the rotation and be a factor for us this fall.
All right. Yep. Thank you all.